Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Well, the Lord put a very definite word on my heart tonight, dealing with discouragement. So have you ever dealt with discouragement before? Of course you have. We all have. Discouragement is one of the enemy's weapons to try to get us to quit, to give up, to become unfruitful, unproductive for God. Just to be discouraged, it means a loss of confidence or enthusiasm, dispiritedness. You just lose your confidence, lose your enthusiasm. You know, there's been times where, you know, it's totally from the devil. Discouragement is totally from the devil. It's a demon. There's a demon of discouragement running around out there. And you got to be aware of them. Bible says we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Discouragement is one of Satan's devices. And so, you know, at different points in our life, we're going to be confronted with discouragement. Now, you know, I've shared before, you know, there's been times I've been just walking along, minding my own business, enjoying the Lord. Just happy in God. Just going on, just happy. And all of a sudden, this thought comes into my mind. I just want to quit the ministry. I just want to quit the ministry. Just like that. That exact thought. Those exact words. I just want to quit the ministry. And sometimes it's come at me in times where it's the most ridiculous thing to me. Because I know I don't want to quit the ministry. So I knew right away, that's not my thought. That is a devil trying to make me think that's my thought. And so this has happened several times. And I've just stopped right there in my tracks and just spoke up out loud. And said, oh, devil, I'm so glad you said that. Now I'm going to confess just the opposite. Because he was trying to get me to confess that and try to yield and come under that. So I knew the best thing to do was do the exact opposite. You know, that'd really give it to the devil. So I just rose up, did the exact opposite, said, oh, thank you, Lord, for my ministry. I thank you, I'm going to run my race with joy and finish every phase of the ministry you've called me to. Hallelujah. Amen. And I've done that several times. Sometimes the devil comes just when you feel kind of a little, you know, maybe a little tired. Maybe a little fatigued. And that thought will come. I just want to quit the ministry. Now for me, you know, the devil for some reason throws ministry in there. Apparently he's probably had a lot of success in that area with ministers. You know, probably a lot of folks have just come under it, you know. They start saying it themselves. I just want to quit the ministry. I wish I could just get out of this. But you know, it's no different. There's folks that they have secular work. They got jobs that God's blessed them with. And the thought comes, I just want to quit this job. I just want to quit this job. I can't stand this job. And how many times have you heard people say that in the course of your life where people have said, I just want to quit this job. I can't stand this job. Huh? Well, you see, those thoughts originate from the devil. He's the ultimate quitter. And so he'll come. But you see, people, they don't know any better. They just yield to it. They take these thoughts as their thoughts. And they come under it, and next thing you know, they can't function well at their job. And next thing you know, most folks that want to quit never actually quit. They just get fired because they become dysfunctional at their job. So we have to guard ourselves against discouraging thoughts, thoughts of wanting to quit, wanting to give up. In fact, if we come over here to Numbers chapter 21, we know that the children of Israel walking through the wilderness dealt with discouragement a lot. And in the book of Numbers, which talks a lot about the wandering of the children of Israel through the wilderness during that 40 years that they were out there, we see here in chapter 21 in verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Now, if we just back up a little bit, if you looked at verse 14 through verse 21 in chapter 20, you'd see that Moses had sent letters to the people of Edom, to the Edomites, asking if he can go through, if Israel could pass through their land on the way to where they were going. And they said, we're not going to touch your food. We're not going to mess around with anything in your land. We just want passage through your land. And the Edomites would not let them pass through the land. Verse 21 says, thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory. So Israel turned away from him. Now, in verse 4, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. So in other words, they had to go the long way on their journey. They had to go. There was a shorter route they could have gone, but we could say the enemy of Israel. The enemies of Israel, which, you know, the enemies of Israel, the enemies of the children of God today are demons, right? And so the enemies of God's people wouldn't allow them to go through, but made them go the long way around. Have you ever felt like you've had to go the long way around in life? Huh? I mean, some things, you know, it's pretty simple. The vision is pretty clear. We can do this thing. Let's go. And then you start out on your journey to go do what is in your heart to do, to go follow the plan of God for your life. And next thing you know, you just keep going and going and going and going. And meanwhile, you know, other people that have done the same thing have gotten there a whole lot faster than you've gotten there. Why is that? Well, sometimes it's because the enemy creates hindrances that force us to go the hard way, go the long way. Paul the Apostle dealt with this regularly. He said in one verse of scripture, he said, I tried to come to you time and time again, but Satan hindered us. We tried to come to you time and time again, but Satan, what? Hindered us. We were hindered. Do you ever feel like the things you're doing in life are being hindered? Well, praise God, you're not alone. That's exciting right there. Because sometimes people begin to feel right away, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? You know, why is this taking so long? Why haven't we gotten there yet? Why hasn't this got straightened out yet? Why hasn't this got fixed yet? I've been praying, I've been believing, I've been doing everything I know to do, but it's delay after delay after delay that keeps coming my way. Well, friend, there are adversaries. There are spiritual Edomites. There are spiritual Edomites that want to eat up your time. More than that, they want to eat up your energy. They want to eat up your energy. And if you allow them to eat up your energy, you will become discouraged. And that's what happened here to the children of Israel. They had to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. They had become fatigued. So we have to watch about allowing ourselves to become discouraged just because things are taking long. We got to understand, sometimes this is a part of life. This is a part of the journey that we're on. No, not that it's God's will, but there are adversaries in this life that will try to hinder us and make us take the long way. And the reason is they want to wear you out. They want to wear you down. They want to get you fatigued. They want to make you weary and tired. So you just have to do what you need to do to get the rest that you needed to be able to finish the journey and not get uptight about it. Not worry about how long it's taking. We got to watch about staring at the clock. We got to watch about always looking at our calendar, counting the days. Worse than that, counting the minutes. We have to trust God that ultimately, if we just stay on the path, do what he's told us to do, we're going to get there. And I always encourage myself all the time by reminding myself I have all eternity to fulfill the plan of God for my life. I'm an eternal being. This is only part of what I'm doing. I said, this is only part of what I'm doing. I'm going on throughout all eternity serving God. So we don't have to get so uptight about completing things and finishing things. Somebody say, I got time. It's the devil who knows he has a short time. He knows his time is running out. So we got to watch about being discouraged. Again, the devil is always trying to wear us out. And like I mentioned, sometimes we just need to draw back and get some rest. Sometimes folks get discouraged because they're tired. They just feel physically tired, and they begin to think that their being physically tired somehow is connected to their being spiritually weak and unfruitful. We don't want to confuse the physical with the emotional or the spiritual. Just because you feel physically fatigued, you don't have to be spiritually worn out. You can be physically tired and spiritually strong. But a lot of folks, I'm tired. I'm worn out. No, your body is. Many times it's not you. It's your body. You are not your body. You'll know that for sure when you leave it someday. And you go to heaven. You'll find out really right then, you know what? That was never me because I'm going up and that's staying there. I'm tired. No, a lot of times it's just your body that's tired. So sometimes it's good to encourage yourself and remind yourself of that, that you're not a body. You're not everything you feel. You could say, you know, my body feels weak. My body feels tired, but I feel good and I feel fine. Now, body, come in line. Sometimes you got to speak to your body. Tell your body, you come in line, praise God, because I'm strong in the Lord. Me, spirit man, I'm strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. So sometimes, you know, first we need to watch that. We need to watch that, you know, we don't confuse the physical with the spiritual and get all emotional over being physically weak. All right? And we do have to watch ourselves. And I believe I said that as one of my points in these teachings, that, you know, get rest. Get sleep. Sleep is a good thing. Not too much sleep, but just enough sleep. If you sleep too much, that could be discouraging. Right? You feel like I'm just sleeping my life away. So you got to watch about feeling like you're sleeping your life away. Okay? So we're not oversleeping, but at the same time, we're not undersleeping too. Know how to rest. Know how to get that balance, and that'll help keep you from growing weary and discouraged. And in talking about weariness, of course, I'm reminded of Matthew, the 9th chapter. Matthew 9, where Jesus looked out on the multitudes of people that were coming to him. Verse 36 says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were what? Weary. Again, weariness and discouragement are connected to each other. We could say they were weary. They were discouraged. They were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. The Amplified Bible says, when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion and pity for them because they were dispirited. See, that's where dispirited, that's a definition for discouraged. They were dispirited and distressed like sheep without a shepherd. So notice Jesus is saying one of the reasons why these folks are so dispirited and distressed, discouraged, is because they don't have a shepherd. They don't have a shepherd over their life. Well, you know, if you come back here to 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. King David was referred to as a great shepherd over the nation of Israel. He wasn't just a king, he was also referred to as a shepherd over the children of Israel. He had the heart of God. And of course, our God, our Lord, is the good shepherd, right? And so here in 1 Samuel 22, in verse 2, it says, "And everyone who is in distress," there's that word distress again. Remember with Amplified Bible of those without a shepherd in Matthew 9, they were distressed, right? Weary, distressed, discouraged. "Everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him." Now we know as time went on that these distressed, indebted, discontented people became a mighty army of people. Some of these men became some of these great, mighty men of faith, right? But why did that happen? Why did things turn around for them? Why did they go from being distressed and discouraged and in debt and such a mess to becoming mighty men of faith and becoming a great army, the army of the Lord? How did that happen? Because they went from not having a shepherd to having a shepherd over their life. And God has ordained that pastors be shepherds to his people. And so it is important, and I'll be honest with you, concerning this message, this is the main thing that I could not get away from. It didn't come across, it was discouragement, but it was with this text. This was the main text. Now, I've built on it from there, you know, with the Holy Spirit's help. But this was the main thing that the Lord wanted to get over to the church. Is how the church needs a shepherd. And I was a little reluctant to do it because as a shepherd, you don't want to think, "Hey, people, you need me." I don't want to come across that way. But this is the word from, this is the word of God. And he wants his people to realize that they need to be vitally connected to their shepherd in order to escape a discouraging life. One of the keys to not being discouraged in life is connecting wholeheartedly with the shepherd God has placed over your life. Because that's how the good shepherd is going to shepherd you. People like that Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, what? I shall not want," right? "He's going to lead me beside still waters. He's going to restore my soul." See, the soul is the area where people get discouraged. "The Lord is my shepherd." And we like to recite that at funerals. People like to recite that. We got plaques of the Lord is my shepherd. But the truth of the matter is, the Lord is only your shepherd to the degree that you are submitted under a shepherd that is anointed under the good shepherd. That's how he shepherds. He anoints people to shepherd his people. And the anointing is himself. It's God himself. So it's important to connect with that spiritual shepherd that God has placed over your life. So he says, "Well, Pastor, we're here tonight." I mean, come on. Why would God have you deliver this message about needing a shepherd to the people that are in church? Because being in church doesn't tell us that you are wholeheartedly connected to the shepherd that God's placed over your life. Let's look at the children of Israel who are constantly discouraged in the wilderness. Moses was their shepherd, wasn't he? And he led them out of Egypt with signs, wonders, and miracles. But yet the people, though they were following him, they did not follow him wholeheartedly. And they did not fully trust in his leadership. And they were constantly discontented, constantly falling into discouragement, even though they were following one of the greatest shepherds that ever walked the face of this earth. Huh? How could they be discouraged? They had a shepherd. Well, they had a shepherd that was placed over them, but their hearts were not trusting. Their hearts were not committed. They were constantly suspicious. They were constantly doubting. They were constantly questioning. Questioning his decisions. Questioning that God was really leading him in that direction. And a lot of them felt like, you know, they knew better than him. Now, I don't feel that particularly from this congregation, so please, this is not something in response to some kind of fleshly thing. This is just the Spirit of God encouraging his people to rise up and to trust God in the shepherd that he has placed over their life. Trust him. Trust him through that shepherd. And let that shepherd, let the anointing that God has placed upon that shepherd's life drive out discouragement. Drive out your debt. You talk about debt cancellation, praise God. Here it is right here. Connect your heart. Some people are afraid, oh, I got hurt. 25 years ago, I was in a church and the pastor hurt us all. Well, get over yourself. And move on with God. I said, move on with God. It's like the children of Israel. You know, Pharaoh. Who cares about Pharaoh? Move on from Pharaoh. Follow Moses. David was a shepherd. They recognized the anointing upon him. They connected. Yeah, but we were so hurt by Saul. Remember, Saul was the king before David. Saul was anointed, but then Saul got reckless with the anointing of God on his life. Fell into sin, fell into disobedience, received a troubling spirit from hell, lost the anointing. And folks left. And they went to David. They didn't just go anywhere and say, oh, well, you can't trust anybody these days. I mean, if it could happen to Saul, it could happen to anybody. You know, and then some of them come reluctantly to David because there's nothing else better to do. And they start following David around, always suspicious. Is he going to do like Saul did? Is he going to do like Saul did? You see, you live in that place, you'll never be able to receive the fullness of the grace that was available to you. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks in the body of Christ, this is their problem right here. For one reason or another, they can't fully commit their hearts. They can't be wholehearted with the shepherd that God has placed over their life. And so they live a weary and discouraged life. So we got to break out of that. If anybody is in that, we got to break out of that. We got to watch out for that. Because, listen, the devil wants you discouraged. What's one of the best ways he's going to get you discouraged? Get you to doubt your shepherd. Get you to disconnect from your shepherd. Hello? Because again, you can be hooked up in the church and disconnected from the shepherd. Again, we just used Moses as an example. You can be vitally connected to the church. I love my church. You know? I want to do more at the church. That's great. What about the shepherd? He didn't say they were weary and scattered like sheep having no church assembly. He didn't say that. He said they were weary and scattered because they didn't have a shepherd. All right? I'm just telling you, this is the word of God to us. And it's all through the word. So we got to take hold of that and bless God, get everything God's got for us so we can live an encouraged life. Hello, somebody. God wants you to live an encouraged life, not a discouraged life. No more discouragement. We're overcoming discouragement. Praise God. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. I shall not want. I shall not be in debt. Amen. I won't be discouraged. Why? The Lord's my shepherd. How do you know? Because he's given me an under-shepherd. Because he's an anointed somebody to shepherd me through. I said he's anointed somebody to shepherd me through. So let's hook up. Let's hook up with that shepherd that he's placed over us. But again, like we said, the children of Israel, no, they just wouldn't trust. And so we come back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 1. In verse 26, Moses is talking about the children of Israel and their journey through the wilderness. He's reflecting on things, and he says in verse 26, "Nevertheless, you would not go up to the land that God had told them to go up and possess. You would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God." You see, now they didn't think they were rebelling against God. They thought they just weren't listening to Moses. They just weren't going to do what Moses said. Right? But no, it was deeper than that. The Lord said, no, you rebelled against the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents. Now you were smiling in the assembly. Praise the Lord, everybody. But when you got home and you got with Agnes, and I just don't know, Hashemahim. And what do you think? And he murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us. The Lord hates us. He has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Notice the mentality here. The Lord hates us. That's why this is happening to me. The Lord sees all my sins. He sees everything I've done wrong. It's because he hates me. He's not for me. He's not with me. He's against me. He hates me. You know, a lot of folks won't say that necessarily. But a lot of folks believe that in their heart. And it's a thing called condemnation. Condemnation. They did not have confidence in the Lord's love and care for them. Did not have any confidence in the Lord's love and care for them. Again, they thought the Lord wanted to kill them. That's why they never could believe Moses. That's why they could never trust Moses, because they couldn't trust the Lord. Can you trust somebody that hates you? Would you trust somebody that hated you? No, of course you wouldn't trust somebody that hated you, that you feel has ulterior motives. You wouldn't trust somebody like that. Well, see, they didn't. Condemnation was a part of the problem here. Their discouragement problem. See, it'd be difficult to get discouraged if you knew how much the Lord was for you. You know, circumstances could be against you. Again, you're going the long way around the mountain. Everything seems to be going wrong. But you never question. You never, never question the Lord's love and care for you. Never question that. And if you wouldn't question the Lord's love and care for you, no matter what goes wrong, no matter how people treat you, reject you, and persecute you, it'd be difficult to become discouraged, because you know the Lord's with you. And you need to remind yourself of that. No matter what seems to be, no matter what or who seems to be against you, you need to lift up your voice and remind yourself and speak to the spirit of discouragement. And say, the Lord is for me. The Lord is for me. The Lord is not against me. Hallelujah. You got to know how to encourage yourself in the Lord. And you encourage yourself in these realities. And if you're not sure of how much the Lord is for you, then you need to spend more time meditating on his love for you, meditating the scriptures, meditating on the cross. You think about the cross. I mean, you think on the cross, it'll erase any kind of thoughts of condemnation when you see the sacrifice that he's made for you. So it's because the Lord hates us. It was condemnation that caused these people to get discouraged. And then it goes on here in verse 27. It says, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Verse 28, where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there, and they're giants. This is what the brethren who they were hanging out with were saying. God was saying, you're more than able to take the land. I am for you. I am with you. Right? We can do this. But then you had fellow unbelieving believers. Oh, it don't look good. Oh, it could never happen. Oh, God don't do that anymore. God don't do that kind of thing anymore. That was the Old Testament when he caused walls to come down and he took him into promised lands and he did miracles, signs, and wonders. That went out with the last apostle. There are so many discouraging people around us, or who would like to be around us. I personally don't surround myself with discouraging people. I separate myself from people that are going to persist in being discouraging. Negative. Negative. Don't be negative and don't hang around with negative people. I said don't hang around with negative people. The Bible says do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And evil does not mean that they're murdering people with swords and with guns. Evil can just simply be unbelief in a person's heart, an unwillingness to believe. The Bible refers to that as an evil heart of unbelief, evil heart. You can't allow yourself to be around that kind of thing. You can't allow yourself to be around negative people all the time. I mean, years back, there was a lovely couple. And, you know, they were coming along in the things of God. And the young lady, she was constantly dealing with physical issues. And she made several trips to the hospital. And every time she'd go to the hospital, her family would clamor around her. They'd all get around her. They would tell her how terrible this is, how awful this is. I'm so afraid for you. I'm so worried about you. I'm worried to death for you. I'm sick with worry. And they would just speak worry, 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 worry over this young girl's life. Every time she would just start to get healed here in the Word of God, then she'd get surrounded by worriers. Worriers. I mean people that were addicted to worry words. You know what I'm saying? Just couldn't help themselves. Just constantly speaking worry words. And she just kept saying, and one day I thought, I said, now, listen, you're going to have to, I know it's mama, and I know it's grandma, and I know it's family. I said, but if you want to get better, if you want to live, if you want to get over this thing, you're going to have to say, stay out of my hospital room. You can do it lovely and as nice as you want, but you're going to have to get them out of your hospital room. Well, she died in the hospital eventually. Died. But she got offended when I told her that. She wasn't in the hospital at the time. And I said to her, I said, now listen, I just feel like, and I had to say it real sweet, you know, because you could sense, you know, how much you could say with some people. And I said, you just, you know, I think it would be a good idea to just kind of, you know, not hang around with that so much. Well, she got totally offended at me. How dare you say that about my... She didn't listen to her shepherd. And things grew wearisome and worse and not a happy ending at all. Are you listening to me? You got to watch who you're hanging out with. You got to watch the company that you keep. So watch out for condemnation and watch out for bad company. And then over here in Deuteronomy 1, verse 21... He says, look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. A lot of times fear is at the root of people being discouraged. Anxiety is a form of fear. And the Bible says anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Well, before there's depression, people are discouraged. Isn't that right? You can't let fear and anxiety get in your heart. And notice, he says, go up and possess it as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. In other words, you have a choice. You have a choice to not fear. Now, there'll be times where you will feel fear grip you. You'll have fear grip. There have been times in my life, I mean, fear has just gripped me, and it just like paralyzes you. Just paralyzes you. One time I almost passed out for fear. The devil had put these thoughts in my mind, and I was dealing with some things, and then somebody started saying some things, and next thing you know, I mean, I got into such fear. I mean, I turned as white as a ghost, and I was on the verge of passing out physically. Fear could just overwhelm you. But I saw in the Word of God where I didn't have to fear, where I didn't have to be controlled by fear, where I didn't have to be dominated by fear, but that I can dominate it. I can rule over fear. I can rule over discouragement. See, some people just think, well, you know, it just happens. There's nothing I can do about it. They give me medication for it. You could do something about it through faith. Thank God for medication, but I got news for you. Faith is a whole lot better. There's no negative side effects for one. Hallelujah. We don't have to be victims of anxiety and panic attacks. But we're going to have to learn to resist the fear, and we're going to have to learn to face it head on. Face it head on. We can't run from the things that intimidate. I said, we can't run from the things that intimidate. You can't run from the giants in the promised land. I'm telling you, God's got a promised life for you. He's got a promised life for you. A land of abundance, a prosperous life, a good life. But I'm telling you right now, there are giants of fear, giants of intimidation that are on your property. They're in your land. They're in the place that God, and you're going to have to get through them to get into your possession. You're going to have to get through them to get to your possession that God has for you. But most folks will still go, I can't do it. I can't do it. And they won't face their fears. They get so intimidated. Their stomach drops, butterflies turn to moths and then become gnats. And evolved to mosquitoes. It just becomes, I can't bear it. And they run and they hide. I would just rather stay here in debt, discontent, and miserable, weary, than have to deal with that. I just don't want to deal with that. Listen, you can overcome that. Why? The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Hallelujah. I was amazed at how much timidity and fear and anxiety was a part of my life when I came to the Lord and he started leading me into what he had for me. I didn't know that there was that much timidity, fear, and anxiety until the Lord says, go in and take it. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. I didn't know it. But I also knew I didn't have to yield to it, and I could overcome it. So I kept facing it. I kept facing it. And there's been a lot of fear giants that I've had to face. I mean, you go back to preaching. I mean, I'm still out of Bible school, and an opportunity opens up for me to be able to minister to these Baptist youth. Go to a Baptist church, minister to the youth. A wonderful opportunity opened up. God gave me a message and everything. I was so pumped up, so excited. And I went to that church, and everything was fine on the way there, and then I got there. Oh, and fear gripped me. Anxiety gripped me. Worry gripped me. What are you going to say? What are you going to do? And I start reciting in my mind everything I'm going to say. You know, that'll just oppress you. I'm thinking about everything I'm going to say. You know, actually, I was doing well, and then I started taking notes, and my notes started really... Hello, everybody. I'm Stephen Frazier, and I'm here to, you know, I mean, I'm writing down everything I'm going to say. Then you start falling into real panic because you think, my God, I can't remember all that. And you're trying to remember it all, you know. I mean, it was just terrible. And I went at these lovely little teenagers, you know. Beautiful little teenagers. I mean, they need God. They need what I have. I thought, my Jesus. I went in the bath. I said, excuse me, I need to use the restroom. I got in the restroom. I fell on my knee. I said, oh, God, take it away. Take it. I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't even want to do this. That's what I was having a conversation alone in the restroom. It only got worse. Oh, it got worse. Perspiration's flowing, you know. So I walked out there. Here he is. You know, they invite me up there. I come up there. Praise God. Stiff as a board. Just frozen with fear. Praise God. But there I was. I said, there I was. Facing my fear. I didn't want to be there. I'd rather have been back home than deal with those giant youth. They were teenagers in the natural, but they were giants in the spirit. I don't remember anything I said. I just remember while I was saying what I was saying, perspiration started coming down my head and stopped. There was one little drop that stopped right there. And I was so frozen, I couldn't wipe it away. I'm just telling you where I was at. See, when I was a little kid, I used to hide behind my mother's leg when she was saying, here's my son, trying to introduce me to the neighbors. I was hiding behind her leg. But now here I am, praise God, a man. And now I got this bead of sweat hanging out right down the forehead. And I can't wipe it away because I didn't know what to do. You know, you don't want to do anything that's not right. And so, you know, it went the whole story. I'm thinking to myself, nobody sees it. They're all far away. You wouldn't see it. A bead of sweat if it was stuck on my forehead. You wouldn't even notice it. And so I comforted myself with that. I couldn't wipe it away. That was not, I just didn't know how to do that. I wasn't smooth, you know, I was just frozen. So I finished. Praise God, amen. We left, got in the car. You know my friend, he's a pastor now down in Florida. We start driving away. He goes, man. He goes, why didn't you wipe that sweat off your forehead? He said, that thing came down and just sat there. What are friends for? I could have gotten discouraged. I could have said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done with this. But you know what? The Lord had me do it many, many more times in fear. I had to keep doing it in fear. But I kept doing it. I said, I kept doing it. I kept facing my fear until, bless God, I conquered it. I wasn't letting it control me. I said, I wasn't letting it control me. I wasn't backing off. See, as soon as you start backing away from the devil, he gains strength. He just gets stronger. That's all it does. He'll dominate your life. You can't allow it to happen. You got to rise up. You got to shake it off. You got to press into it. You got to press into it. Press into the plan of God. Don't allow yourself to be talked out of it. Don't allow yourself to back down. Say, I won't back down. And I won't quit. I don't have to fear. You don't have to fear. That's why he says, do not fear. He would not say, do not fear, if you could not fear. If you could not do that. But you can do it. Somebody say, I can do it. And then in Isaiah chapter 42, talking about Jesus, the prophet Isaiah said, he will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Notice this about Jesus. One of the characteristics of Jesus that Isaiah prophesied about was that he will not fail nor be discouraged. He will not be discouraged. This is huge. If it wasn't a huge attribute of Jesus, he wouldn't have said that. Jesus could have gotten discouraged, but he did not get discouraged. And he would not get discouraged. He will, I love this, he will not. Everybody say will not. See, say I will not. See, it's an act of your will. It's an act of your will. The Lord is with you. You don't have to give in. You don't have to give in. You will not fail, and you will not be discouraged. You will not. Say it right now. Say, I will not fail. I will not be discouraged until I establish what God has called me to do. The Amplified Bible says this, he will not be disheartened or crushed in spirit. He will persevere until he has established justice on the earth. Jesus ain't quitting. He ain't giving up. He's not going to get discouraged. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin like Jesus did. It's saying to help avoid discouragement, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Think about all that came against him. All the attacks in the physical, in the mental, in the spiritual, all the attacks that came against Jesus to cause him to get discouraged, to cause him to get depressed, to cause him to want to give up and quit. But yet he didn't, did he? He just kept persevering, and he kept facing his giants. He kept going forward, and he resisted discouragement. He resisted giving in to the devil, even to the point of breaking blood vessels so that his sweat was mingled with blood. He shed blood resisting discouragement. Somebody say, I can do it. I can resist discouragement. You'll never have to resist discouragement to that point, to that level that Jesus resisted it. But he resisted, and he was physically feeling it to the point where it was physically breaking blood vessels. But glory be to God, he won. I said he won, and you and I win. So say this with me, say, I have no excuse to be discouraged. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall prevail, I shall fulfill what God has called me to do. Even if I go the long way, I will get there. Come hell or high water, I'm going to get there. Hallelujah. Praise God, we're going to get there. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't worry. Don't be anxious about it. I fell down. I stumbled. Well, get up. You don't have to be discouraged about it. Just get up. Wash off, praise God. Confess it to God and go. Don't quit. Don't give up. Have confidence in the love and mercy of God. He forgives you and he graces you to be able to do this thing. And bless God, we're going to do it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet. Let's thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.